A bloated, smooth-bellied pup, sightless and filmy-eyed, barbed ceremonially in the wake of a moorhen. A moorhen that, for all its air of constant lively alarm, had not seen the naked, heavy man on the ramp, nor the stranger watching, but struck on with its nervous, erratic course through the reeds.
I say.
A mist still clung to the lake from which it sprang, but with infinite reluctance it fell back among the snares of sedges. Only the willows stood out against the morning in demi-silhouette, club-headed and Babylonian, half in, half out of the water.
I say, I don't know who you are, madam, but this is private property. I say, would you kindly leave the way you came?
From the indistinct humps of swans in dry dock, sinewy arms waved once to the swimmer. But Dr. Warburton was not an imaginative man and did not wave back. They drew his eye. Perhaps they pointed to the solitary observer. He guessed the watcher to be a woman from something of her shape and called cheerfully. But the woman made no acknowledgement of a common humanity, nor stirred at all. Irritated, he consumed the mirrored surface, striking away from the boathouse in the mist. Exhilarated, confident, sensually absorbed, he turned on his back and struck on gloriously, drawing after him his goat's body, admiring the dark tufts of curly hair, straightened and streamlined in his progress. He swam very well. Well, switch it on, or whatever you do.
Oh, it won't start.
Nonsense, of course it'll start.
It's coming off the little sailor. Can I keep him?
No, dear.
Oh, you have to have the aerial out first on the little radio. Then you move the switches, you see.
Yes, dear. I know. You remember where it lives in the boathouse?
Oh, yes.
There's a good fellow. He recognized it for what it was instantly. It sought him out through the mist.
I say! Do you see me? I say!
Dr. Warburton ducked, but emerged directly, whimpering and bloody. Panic blinded him. Before he could see, it was on him again, nodding like the beak of judgment. He swung about, and for a moment, as his brain fused, the water claimed him. He forgot how to swim. Swimming became a mystery.
Murder as Art by Graham England, with Noel Hood as Dame Hetty and John Rye as Leo. Summer, the lawn of the Dower House.
The clinician and the large Dr. Warburton stood off, watching and nodding gravely as a star burst in Dr. Warburton's chest with a force that quite separated pain from its threshold and allowed for dispassion. Dr. Warburton had a vision of his body as a thing apart, like some perspex model of itself, with every nerve end, a coloured filament glowing brilliantly with pain of such vigour it did not hurt at all. He felt again the wonder and excitement of his student days and eagerly raised an arm as if to speak a thought. Instead, he waved once, or seemed to wave, as the swans on the bank had seemed to wave to him before that arm, too, slid under the water after the rest of him. His wife, though an imaginative woman, did not wave back. nor did the swans hiss her, as they had always, for some dim reason of their own, hissed him, as he conducted the little boat back to her and the floating dog by the shore.
Oh, I like it. It's very good. Huh. How inadequate that sounds. It really is very good.
It's not finished. There has to be an inquest. I need one more for my very last collection of stories, but I do like that one. A model boat, you see, will be just the weapon an unhappy woman would use, particularly if her husband had built it himself, if it was his only real passion.
What will the coroner say?
What they always say, that he struck his head when diving, or that his struggle brought on a heart attack, that natural seepage from the lake drew his body to where it was found. They always say that. I've noticed in my very long life that society has a bias in favour of the least alarming explanation.
What will you call it?
I don't know, the water demon. I have terrible trouble with titles.
Did you get the idea from the little model boat I saw in the hall?
No, not really. We bought that yesterday at an auction. Jennifer wanted it. I once killed an admiral with Wilde's disease. Do you know what that does? It paralyzes the kidney if there's a malfunction to start with. Retired, of course. Used to play Gilbert and Sullivan records all day long.
Hmm. Oh, by the way, Dame Hetty, do you mind me using this thing?
Not at all. What is it?
It's a tape recorder. I find it most helpful.
I've never used tape recorders. I bought a Swan fountain pen in 1947. Broad-lip, never use anything else. It's the same nib, you know.
Is it really? Could I see it?
Whatever for, it's just a fountain pen.
Oh, that's most interesting. Muriel Spark never lets anyone use her writing pens. If they do, she throws them away.
Who is Muriel Spark?
A novelist.
I don't know any lady novelists.
Well, I don't think you can call Miss Spark a lady novelist.
Her private life is her own affair.
Oh, quite.
Nevertheless, I think it worth recording, if that is what you're doing, that scandalous behaviour and creativity do not mix, whatever the paying public may think.
Quite.
Wasn't it working?
wasn't switched on.
Hmm. What did she do, this Spark woman?
Well, nothing that I know of. Perfectly respectable lady.
How dull.
Your own life, Dame Hetty, hasn't been entirely untouched by newspaper comment, has it? I see one of your reviewers accuses you of anticipating the novel of faction, of being unable to start a book without somebody else's body. I was glancing through the cuttings in your library. I hope you don't mind.
Would you pass me the glass, Mr. Lamley?
Meadows? Leo Meadows. Do you mean the telescope?
I know what I mean, Mr. Meadows. Just give it to me, would you?
How do you give an admiral Wilde's disease?
Oh, you need to keep rats, of course. It's concentrated in their urine. And you need a victim with a damaged kidney to start with. After that, it's plain sailing. Would you mind looking to the left of that little white farm building? My eyesight isn't what it was.
What am I looking for?
The postman.
Gosh. It's powerful, isn't it?
Naval issue like myself. My father was an admiral.
No. No, there's no sign of him. Oh, wait a bit. There's a bicycle. No, it's in a ditch. Abandoned or something.
Mm.
What a lot of litter.
Letters?
I suppose it could be letters. Somebody's been turning out. Isn't that awful?
Thank you. It was set in the 1930s. He was a recluse and lived in a rather pretty cottage.
Who was?
My admiral. He was very taken with thorn needles. Always had to have thorn needles for his gramophone. And he was always licking his thumb and pricking it to test the sharpness. Disgusting habit. Would you mind looking in that sheep dip just beyond the ditch you mentioned?
Oh.
Do you see anything?
No.
His niece visited him regularly. She was the only one who did. He cordially detested her, and she felt much the same way about him, but bore all that patient merit of the unworthy could take, and she always brought the new needles. It was just a question of time, you see. And soaking the needles, and patience.
In the rats,
Yeah. It was a very pretty cottage.
What year was that?
1934.
Oh, that must be Home is the Sailor.
Clever, aren't you? Home is the Sailor, home from the sea, and the Hunter home from the hill. Have you read it?
I haven't, actually.
No. I never yet met an author's agent who could read. They always have to employ someone to do it for them.
Oh, I'm not an agent, Dame Hetty.
But you did say my agent sent you.
Oh, yes, he did.
What did you say your name was?
Meadows. Leo Meadows.
Jewish?
No.
My chauffeur is very anti-Semitic.
Oh.
You have to be a poet, Mr. Meadows.
Well, I am, actually. How did you guess? No, of course, it's not a living. It doesn't pay. I couldn't say I was a poet in that sense.
No. No, it wouldn't be.
What?
A living. You're no longer young, are you? How many wives have you had?
Two.
Yours or other people's?
Oh. One was mine, so to speak, and now she's somebody else's, and the present one was somebody else's.
I don't think I could have invented a name as good as yours.
Really?
If poetry were a living, Mr. Meadows, you would find two wives, whoever they belong to, would be quite sufficient for newspaper comment.
Oh, you mustn't be offended, Dame Hetty. If I'm to do your life, then in the nature of things I shall be asking questions that must seem impertinent by their very pertinence.
You startle me, Mr. Meadows. You're going to do my life.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was all settled.
Probably is, if that's what they want. I haven't done a full-length book in 5 years, you know. Just my little short stories, the vignettes of my old age, as someone has unkindly called them. So that's why you're here. Exciting, isn't it? They've been getting very restless.
They?
The family. And Thomas wants to be married. There's a hawthorn hedge just above the sheep dip. Would you...
I feel a little like Admiral Nelson. Oh, my God.
Now, you will stay the weekend, won't you?
I'm awfully sorry. I don't think I can.
Is that him? With the telescope? Thomas.
Mm. Yes.
Jennifer, come away from the windows, baby.
Yes, well, what do you think?
Looks good to me.
I shall take them some lemonade shortly.
No, don't do that, Hector. If she looks like dropping off, Thomas can entertain him. I'll give Hetty one of her pills.
And a wee drop of scotch.
Be quiet, child. Don't you want a new tennis court?
Oh, yes, Aunt Sylvie.
Still, the scotch mightn't hurt. I could do with one myself.
Nervous?
I always am before she starts a new book. I suppose you aren't.
Well, I amuse her. You, on the other hand, do not amuse her. Still, perhaps she's fond of you.
Well, I did marry her, after all.
Oh, no, I shouldn't think so.
What?
It's much more likely that she married you.
Well, same thing.
Oh, no, it's not. You must have been very fetching in your day, Hector. Rather dashing, I shouldn't wonder. The galloping major, what?
I had my moments.
Rather a lot of them, by all accounts.
Aunt Hetty says everyone should have a hobby.
Go and play under the elm trees, Jennifer.
Not likely. Before the bow breaks. 1957.
Ooh. Did you see the film?
Only on television.
She paid off my mortgage with the film.
Ah, so that's how she got you.
No, that was after we married.
Well, didn't you mind being married to a woman 20 years older than yourself?
Well, of course I bloody well minded. She was as ugly as sin even then.
Quick contest, was it? One more for the tally? Just keeping your hand in, as it were.
Oh, chuck it, Thomas.
That's the trouble with womanizing. Any old boot, so long as it's high-heeled. Can't understand it myself. Must be some sort of disease. I bet Hetty cured you. Why on earth didn't you cut and run?
I came for the weekend. The summer of 56. And it rained. And afterwards she told me about her first book.
Aunt Sylvie! Funny man's been sick in the rhododendrons.
Simon.
Simon!
Not now, Audrey. In the morning.
Audrey?
What? Where?
Shh! Downstairs.
I knew she'd find out.
Shh! Downstairs, a burglar.
Melissa, don't be silly.
What do you mean, don't be silly? Don't you believe in burglars?
Oh God.
Well, we can't both stay under the bed. It's all right for you, tucked in against the wall out of sight, but I think I stick out a bit.
Perhaps it's Leo.
How can it be Leo? You sent him for the weekend, didn't you?
Yes. Still, a better check.
Why me?
What's your house?
What if it's not?
Well, come back and tell me.
Melissa? Melissa? What are you doing under the bed?
It's my yoga night.
But why was she looking for the postman?
She's always looking for the postman. What else is there for her to do? She is a marvellous writer.
Coffee. What's wrong with the postman?
Oh, God. She does, in a sense, kill people, of course. It's her trade.
Yes, but...
What's wrong with the postman?
Oh, everything's wrong with the postman. He's dead, for a start.
Someone sent the vicar a parcel bomb. Our poor friend was a little late delivering.
I was there.
They found most of him in somebody's sheep dip.
Now she's turning it into a short story. That's what I object to. It's like making lampshades out of people you know.
Well, what else do you want her to do? She's a writer.
Unlike some...
Oh, sweetheart.
I don't call poetry writing, darling.
I mean, it's hardly material for a saga, is it? For her sort of novel, she needs an archetype.
Like a poet.
Melissa? What's she going to call it?
What, the story?
Yeah.
Well, she's stuck between Blessing in Disguise and Post Early for Christmas. In the story, you see, it won't be meant for the vicar at all. That's the red herring. The postman's young wife is in love with a new vicar, and they plan to get rid of Mr. Plod. So, it's her, you see. He builds the thing and, well, she sends it.
I like it. I can sell that.
It was tremendous of you, Simon. No one ever commissioned me before. I do appreciate it, but, well, if it's all the same to you, I'd rather write a few poems and starve quietly.
It is not all the same to me.
I've got faith in you, Leo. We'll make a killing, you know.
Oh, please don't say that.
Sorry. I go down with you like a shot, you know that. But, well, we're not on the best of terms at the moment. Anyway, Thomas is on your side.
I could get a job. Well, don't you see? Death in life doesn't concern her. It's only death in the novel that rouses her passion. It trivializes death somehow. I mean, art isn't just therapy. Sharp be a tick.
That's why she's so good. She argues backwards from the event, turns fact into art. Her corpses are real people, aren't they? They don't just lie there like a clue in a crossword. It's made her Queen of the Vicarage murder set. She's done it all on her own, Leo. Leo! Can he hear me?
Oh, yes.
Not now.
Oh.
But is it fair?
I don't know. Is it art?
She is a marvellous writer.
Should the novelist accept responsibility for the actions of his characters? I don't know. That's something you could ponder in your book.
I'd have to take it up with her.
A free hand, Leo.
Really?
Tell you what, I'll run down in the car late Friday. Put up at the pub, give you a sort of backup till you get established.
Oh, goody. Weekend in the country.
You are not coming.
Oh, yes, I am.
What?
Shall I bring Melissa?
Oh, you are a comfort, Simon. It was good of you to come over so late. I don't know how you got here so quickly.
Oh, well. What are friends for?
But a writer's sources, Dame Hetty, are of infinite fascination for their more literate readers.
You can't be more literate. You either are or you aren't. I heard about a literate film script once. It must have been an object of endless fascination.
Yeah, quite. 5 of your novels were filmed. Isn't that right?
I don't write novels.
thrillers?
I write books, Mr. Meadows. Not novels or thrillers, but books.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, you don't. Works of crime, Mr. Meadows. Violent crime.
And it's 5 years since you wrote one.
What?
A book.
I told you that once. You must pay attention, you know, if you want to be a writer. Small wonder you need a tape recorder.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
Well, we're not getting on very well, are we?
Nonsense. We're getting along famously. I like you. You're the answer to an aged author's prayer. Ask me anything you want to. Would you like to marry me? I'd make you very rich. Well, rich, anyway.
Oh, good Lord. You're already married, Dame Hetty.
Major Lowe is not indispensable, are you, Hector?
Well, I think so, naturally, but then I'm partial. I bought you lemonade, dear. Would you like some, Mr. Meadows?
Oh, thank you, I should. Very hot, isn't it?
Leo is a poet, Hector.
Oh, how interesting.
Well, not very.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if he had a slim volume of his works about him, or perhaps they're on the tape recorder.
Dame Hetty, you are wicked.
Yes, she is. She really is.
And I'm also right, aren't I?
Yes, yes, you are. I suppose you want me to read some now.
Oh, certainly not. Just autograph it to me and leave it in the library. It'll probably have a macabre fascination in the years to come.
Oh, I'm sorry. I never give books away. I had to pay to have it published as it was.
And I'd be a fool to buy it, wouldn't I? Very well. But, don't read more than one.
Well, this is called Hanging Mirrors. Little favourite of mine. I think I've got it somewhere. It's very short.
Have you got my pills with you, Hector?
Yes, dear. Do you feel you need one?
No, but have it ready.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Hanging Mirrors. Oh, I should explain. The title refers to moving into an old family house. A cousin, in fact. Moving in, that is. The house was on the border, the Welsh Marches. Well, that's important. Oh, and I should explain...
No, I shouldn't really.
What?
Explain, Leo. Just read the damn thing.
Oh. Hanging mirrors. Dead? Are they dead? What, all of them dead? Florence and Charlie and great-uncle Fred? Flossie and Fleur and Hyacinth too? Gone? Are they gone? What, all of them? Due. Well, I said, well, are you fit? Are you well? Two? Just the two? Only two of us here? All. Not them all. Not all of them dead. Careful. Oh, careful. Damn it, do have a care. See, don't you see? Our images, there. Gone. Are they gone? Where is mine? Can it be? Are you dead? Can I be? Is it possible, there? Where there are none of me?
You left the tape recorder on. It's all right, Hector. I'll put it back in the box. Oh, I shall have a little sleep now. I'm 79, you know. There, nobody knows that outside the family. You see how well we're getting on. Now, you will stay this weekend, won't you?
Well, I booked in the village.
Never mind, get your bag. Hector will see to all that, won't you, Hector?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, you're very kind.
Not at all. We don't have what you call dinner these days, do we, Hector?
Well, Hetty, who called the cook a bastard?
Who called the bastard the cook? Anyway, make a big breakfast, I should, while the going's good.
Well, I'm not a big eater, actually.
No, don't look it. We must feed you up somehow. There's always something to eat. Don't sit under the elm trees, Leo. The elm hateth man and waiteth.
Ah, before the bough breaks?
Yes, 1950-something.
Seven.
Was it? A lovely book, whatever year it was. Well, be off with you. Thomas will amuse you if Hector can't. He wants to be married, after all.
Well, I'll see you later on, then.
Certainly you shall, but perhaps not today.
I've got to work, dear. Shall I leave the pills?
I wish you wouldn't ask me that. And no, I do not need the pills.
child, Hetty. I am 33.
What a splendid thing to be. I wish I was. Though I don't know. I wasn't happy when I was 33. I was much happier in my 40s. Though I was never sure what people meant by that. Don't do that, Susie. It's rather nerve-wracking.
Will you do a new book?
I might.
Can I be in it? Oh, do let me be in it.
Susie, whatever's come over you.
I didn't mean that.
What?
About being in the book.
Of course you didn't. Have you seen the new vicar? He isn't married, I understand.
Oh, good. I'll go and leap on
him.
Well, he's not likely to leap on me, is he?
I've been meaning to ask you, dear. If I do another book, and I don't say I shall, would you like a nose job? A sort of little present? Not that I mind your nose, understand. Goodness knows, mine used to bother me, you know, before I was 40. But I'm behind it most of the time, whereas I can see your problem, but to see one's own, one has to shut one eye, and that gets you into all sorts of bother.
Oh, chance would be a fine thing.
I don't think it ever worried me, being plain. After I was 40, anyway. Strange that you should take after me. We're not related by blood, after all.
What was my father like?
He drank, rather.
But what did he look like?
You, dear.
No wonder he drank. Was he drunk? When he had his accident.
Very drunk. You wouldn't have liked him, Sylvie. Awful bounder. Frightful drone.
See the little fairy glen where the elves are dancing.
Hello, little girl.
Hello, little tennis court. Had a busy day?
Yes. Yes. Instructive, certainly. I'm lost, I think. It comes of taking shortcuts. You're Jennifer, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
This is a dangerous place to play, Jennifer.
Yes, it is. Awfully dangerous. Do you want to see it?
What?
Rich and Strange, 1966. Well, that's why you're here, isn't it?
Oh, my favourite book. This was the weir, and that must be the mill.
Hatton's mill. Come on. Of course, it isn't called Hatton's mill, only in the book. It hasn't got a name. Oh, look.
Gosh. Are you an orphan, Jennifer?
Yes, I am. I'm an orphan.
Don't stand so near the edge, child. It's horribly fascinating.
Of course, it's only Hatton's mill in the book.
That would be artistic license, you see, wouldn't it? But she describes it perfectly. The broken steps, the isolation, the feeling of rottenness and unfathomable depths, and the vast, indifferent mill.
Throw a stone. A big one.
Oh, all right. There.
Gosh.
Her only book without a body. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
Strange the sense of anticlimax at the end of all her stories. When the murderer is caught. The sense of unreality. You read her books?
Oh, yes. I know them all. I could read when I was 3.
Oh, do come away. It's so cold and dank and slippery. Don't you long for the sun, my pale, fey child?
Not particularly. Are you a Thatcher?
What?
A Thatcher. Uncle Hector's a Thatcher. It's terribly expensive being a Thatcher.
What? Well, where are you? Wait a minute. What do you mean? Oh, damn. Why did you say, hello, little tennis court?
You're my tennis court.
Yes, but I...
If Aunt Hetty writes another book, I shall have a tennis court.
Yes, but...
Then they'll have to play with me.
They will?
Yes.
Why won't they play with you now?
I don't know. Shall I make you a daisy chain?
No, thank you.
See the little fairy glen where the elves are dancing in and out the magic crib. One, two, three. Goodbye!
Jennifer! I don't know the way back. Could you direct me to the village, please?
Please. One moment, please. So, thank you. I just wish to record it for the collection. It's a sad sight, the death of giants. How many noble trees, Mr. Meadows, across this great island, slaughtered like pigs with swine fever by that vile worm.
Worm?
Common.
How did you know my name?
You are staying with Dame Hattie, yeah?
Yes.
I work for Dame Hattie.
Oh. Are all these elms diseased?
Oh, yes. See, break up some of the bark. Here and here. And is revealed a network of pain. A million tunnels of agony. A bunker of disease and decay. What a subject for a great epic poem, Mr. Meadows. An underground city of death.
I'm a poet, Herr...
Gerber. Gustav Gerber. Formerly of the Hamburg State Police. At your service.
Oh.
Traffic division. You want to park your car? I can help you. May you live to write it, Mr. Meadows.
You record these sounds?
Oh, yes. They will also burn the trees, and I will record that too.
But why?
Well, it is my hobby. And also, I have the honor to aid the amateur productions of the village players.
Oh.
We are doing the cherry orchard. The new pastor will direct, and Dame Hattie is our patroness. That they owe to me.
Well, that's hardly going to sound like a cherry tree coming down, is it?
When I have finished with it, Mr. Meadows, it will sound like the motorcycle accident if I want.
Really?
But of course, you can re-record and augment and distort the sound, cut it out, anything. You are asking for the village, yeah?
Yes, I'm to meet my wife.
Would you like first a cup of coffee with me at my cottage?
Oh, well, thank you.
Come on.
Traffic division?
Yeah. The tragedy of my life, Mr. Meadows. Every year I am saying to the Jewish bastard in charge of the... I am not prejudiced, Mr. Meadows. They just got no place in the police, not in Hamburg. Polizei, Kommissar. I am saying, Jaime, please, I want to go criminal.
What?
Scenes of crime. I want to work on scenes of crime. Violent crime, murder, robberies, and criminal assault. You think I am joining the police for helping old ladies across the Schulterblatt? This is Hamburg, city of sin. We are not in Dusseldorf, you know. We see, says Jaime. Next year, maybe. That is how I met Dame Hattie.
Dame Hattie?
What a wonderful writer. I admire all things English, Mr. Meadows. The British home stores, the changing of the guard, the Manchester United, the British criminal. Real Aryan gentleman, Mr. Meadows. Bobby Charlton. Ronnie Biggles.
Yes?
So, I am writing to Dame Hattie. Your policeman, I am saying, excuse me, they are not wonderful.
Are they?
Her policeman? They are stupid. And her detective stings like a gefilte fish.
Does he?
Amazing. She is writing me a most courteous, charming letter. I want to kill this man in Hamburg, she writes.
What?
For the book.
Oh.
We are planning this murder, she and I. Except that.
Yes?
Except that. This elderly Englishman dies outside a nightclub in Hamburg. A traffic accident like we have in the book. Just like we have in the book. Exactly like we have in the book. Nature imitating art, I am saying to myself. Only the book wasn't out already.
Yes. Have some more coffee.
You help yourself. So, again I am writing to Dame Hattie. After all, I am a traffic policeman. And I am putting frankly my feelings in the matters.
And?
I am getting no reply. Well, her secretary, somebody writes and thanks me. Dame Hattie is engaged, looking for another subject and so. And I am saying to myself, Gustav Gerber, we are in the most unusual situation. Because if Dame Hattie is writing another book, it's a paradox, Mr. Meadows. Instead of having a body and looking for a murderer, we a murderer have and must look for the body.
Ah, there you are. Thought we'd lost you.
Michael!
You all right? Sorry, did I startle you?
If you could, would you warn me next time, Major? Please. I might have been killed.
Oh, sorry. Lost your way, have you?
Yes.
Oh, easily done. You're not far off. You can see the Dow House from here if the light wasn't fading. Oh, you've been out a long time.
I have walked for miles and miles.
Well, I'll take you back. No point in hanging on here. Not your cup of tea, is it?
Actually, I think I need my wife. I am going to the village.
Well, why not phone her from the Dower House?
Those birds were sitting, Major Lowe.
Not anymore, they're not, are they? Nasty fat brutes. Vermin, Mr. Meadows. Come along.
Hello?
Ah, I want to speak to my wife, please. Mrs. Meadows. Yes, Meadows. You know, meadows, fields, leaves, grass, that sort of thing. Meadows. Moo. Moo. Moo.
Hold on. Go right one here. We got Mrs. Meadows. She's staying, is she?
No, no, no. I just rang. I thought I would. She's skin diving off the Azores.
Pardon? Oh, wait a minute, putting you through. We got some skin divers staying then.
Hello?
Simon?
Yes?
Oh, have they given me the wrong room? I want Melissa.
No.
Oh. What are you doing in Melissa's room?
Oh, looking for drugs, pornographic literature, the odd dirty postcard. Anything to pass time, really?
Well, look, for God's sake, Simon, stop messing about, would you? Is she there? Put her on.
She's gone to the country club with Thomas. You were supposed to be here.
Oh, drat.
You sound upset, Leo.
Well, of course I'm upset. I've every right to sound upset. I was very nearly killed this evening.
Oh, is that all? Accident?
Well, I don't know.
What happened? Did you read some of your poems to the village idiot?
Ha, bloody ha. Oh. Country club. Country club. Country club.
In the litter book, oh. Yes.
Oh. Oh, thank you. I didn't see you there.
Just passing through.
You have a lot of telephones, Dame Hetty.
Yes, we do. Thomas bought a job lot. I can't stand telephones.
Well, I haven't said anything funny yet.
What?
Oh, darling.
Is that you again, Simon?
What?
Oh, Leo. Oh, don't do that.
Darling.
What do you want, darling?
You, honey bun, desperately.
Oh, poor baby.
Why didn't you wait for me?
Well, I waited and waited, sweetie. Honest injun.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
it's all right, darling. I understand.
Oh, by the way. Simon was in your room.
Was he, cheeky devil?
Yeah, he sounded awfully fed up. Why didn't you take him with you?
Oh, two's company, Leo. Three's disgusting.
is Thomas with you?
Whatever's going on, Melissa?
Oh, just some tomfool.
Is Thomas looking after you for me?
Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, nice chap. What time will he be back, baby?
I don't know. 1 o'clock. Half past.
Get off that
desk. Oh, honey bun.
What's the matter, darling?
Well, I shan't see you. Well, they go to bed so early.
Oh, what a pity you don't drive.
Yes, but Melissa, I've got to talk to you. I'm beginning to get the oddest feeling.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, I'll ring you in the morning, darling. Sleep tight. Mind the bugs don't bite.
What?
Do I disturb you?
No, not at all. My wife.
Oh.
Lovely girl.
Is she?
Marriage is a wonderful institution. I recommend it wholeheartedly.
Do you?
Oh, yes. Strong chaps like yourself perhaps may not need it, but of course... but my goodness. It is a comfort to we weaker brethren.
I am not a chap, Mr. Meadows.
No. No, of course you're not. Sort of little joke. Shorthand. No offence meant.
None taken. You
I
mustn't...
Thought, well, they say that...
Do I look like a chap?
What?
Do you get the feeling you were in the army with me or something?
Oh, good Lord. No.
Why is it adults are so devious when as children were so direct?
Oh.
I cycled over to the vicarage this morning. It was such a glorious morning. Unfortunately, I clashed with the school bus. That's always a mistake. And they couldn't get by. It was all rather harrowing. There were 40 juvenile yobbos behind me, whistling and crying, get them off, and gore in rural accents.
Where, there?
From the back. I am quite seductive, Mr. Meadows.
Oh! Well, of course you are. My word.
Well, that wasn't so bad, though. It is remarkable what they seem to be teaching them these days. There is something quite frighteningly lustful about a recently broken voice in a high state of smut. Anyway, they got by in the end, though it seemed to take forever about it, and they gradually fell silent, row after row of quite pitilessly appraising faces. And as they drew away, there was this mad rush to the back of the bus, so I smiled, placatingly, I thought, and there was this long, collective... Yeah.
There's no answer to that.
Sylvie?
Aunt Hattie?
I can't sleep. Will you play cards with me, dear?
I was just going to show Mr. Meadows to his room.
Yes, I'm sure you were. Well, I've no doubt he can find his own way.
Ah, yes. Yes, I can, thank you. dear. Excuse me. Long day. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Aren't you working?
I can't get on. Nothing falls into place. The setting's all wrong. I have my main character, my victim. It's the setting that's bothering me.
Oh, you'll figure something.
Yes.
So it does seem a pity.
Nonsense. The weak must die that the strong may live. The herd should be culled from time to time.
About the nose job.
Yes, dear.
Thank you very much. I should like it.
I am pleased. That'll help.
Will it?
Oh, yes. Good night, dear. I don't think I want to play cards after all.
Good night.
Don't we wait for Dame Hetty?
No, she never comes down for breakfast. There are kidneys on the sideboard.
But whose? That's what I want to know.
Don't be ghastly, Jennifer.
How's the project going, Leo? How do we shape as local colour?
Well, not at all well, actually. The project, that is. I was thinking of going today. There are things I ought to be doing.
Get in now and you'll become the world's leading authority on Dame Hetty Lowe. A manuscript all ready for when she snuffs it. Television interviews, book programs. You know the way their little minds work. She's very big in America.
Well, why aren't you doing it?
Not my line.
What is your line?
He has the Midas touch, Leo. In reverse.
Sylvie, you traitor.
We cornered the world's surplus in second-hand telephones once. Had you noticed?
Well, yes, I had. There do seem to be 3 phones to every room.
Not to mention the stables.
Not if you can possibly avoid it.
I'll show you.
Oh, no, you won't, young lady. You nearly lost him yesterday, as it were.
I'll show you.
Well, I'm not all that bothered, actually.
Oh, it's quite a sight, believe me. I had thought of opening it to the public and charging admission.
I shouldn't tell Hetty. She's trying to forget all about it.
This is the Long Gallery, Liz. Died in a hunting accident.
How tragic.
Yes.
Tragedy seems to stalk your family.
Well, not mine so much as his. His wife disappeared during the war, you know. One sister committed suicide. The other had a heart attack during a thunderstorm. Some families are like this, I understand. Look at Thomas Mann. You shouldn't smoke so much, Leo. It's not good for you.
Your next book, Dame Hetty.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about it. Do you mind?
Of course not.
Well, I wouldn't want you to talk it out.
Talk it out?
Well, I mean, some people feel superstitious about it, so that they lose material if they talk, before getting it down on paper.
Good heavens.
You have no such inhibitions.
I have very few inhibitions of any kind.
You do have a very practical attitude towards your art.
Yes, but I believe in inspiration too. Inspiration is all. Inspiration and execution. Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heavens of invention. I do believe it inspired me. Where would we poor crime writers be without our dear Shakespeare to bring home the bacon?
And where do you seek inspiration, Dame Hetty?
Here, in the Long Gallery, where I write.
But the heart of the matter
is rooted in reality. Some gesture, some place, some phrase, someone, but real, not imagined. Perhaps because I started so late. I was 40, you know. I had no idea I could write. I had no idea what I could do. We writers, Leo, balance between art and absurdity, as others balance between life and death. One is so easily pushed from one to the other. I was leading an absurd life, you know. I wasn't born a dame. People knew me once as Lady Hester's companion.
Were you there during the thunderstorm?
You're thinking of the wrong sister, Leah.
I'm thinking of your next book.
My last book.
Your last book?
My swan song.
Is that what it'd be called? Swan song?
Yes, that's right. Some say swans sing before they die. 'Twere no bad thing should certain persons
die before they sing.
You look a little pale, Leo. Shall we go into the garden? We can get there from here. Come along. People have extraordinary ideas of my wealth. I am not a millionaireess. It's true I've made a great deal of money from time to time, but it tends to evaporate. Not having had a family of my own, I've indulged the one I acquired. They're very expensive. They take advantage of my generosity. But it keeps us very close. Strange that someone as self-sufficient as myself should enjoy having dependents. And then the tax man seems to apportion me the entire national debt. Or has this Labour government repudiated that? I forget. I was poor once, you know. Almost as poor as I was plain. And I was very plain. Sylvie takes after me. Had you noticed that we're not related by blood? Extraordinary, really. But she has vitality, has she not? Dying to be a tower of strength to someone, I shouldn't wonder. Girls with those fleshy noses tend to be very sensual, Leah. The sort that get excited about it and sound off like trains in tunnels. Hooters, I call them. I rather think George Eliot was a very passionate one. I ought to live abroad, really. But then, why should I?
Some of your best cases are set abroad.
Well, I had to go abroad from time to time. And several people who interested me went abroad, though I hated it, of course. Full of foreigners, you know. Oh, yes.
When I have an idea for a book, I never give up. That's what marks the artist, makes him different. You don't start a book and then not finish it, by God. Grit, you know, a little blood, a little unladylike sweat, and you get it done. One must make sacrifices. And each one done adds to one's strength for the next in some subtle way. Nothing, I do believe, could stop me finishing a book now. One just makes the sacrifice and feels quite strong and glorious. How much does it cost to have a book of poems?
Dee doo dee doo dee, lovers at first sight. Dee doo dee doo dee, doo dee 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 doo.
Sylvie?
Yes, Leo.
I met a man in the park yesterday.
You have better luck than I do.
What?
Gustav.
Yes. Yes, that's right. He said he worked for Dame Hetty.
Well, sort of. He helped her with a book once.
Yeah. So he said.
Yes, he says a lot of things.
He said some remarkable things.
We do attract more than our fair share of loons.
Yes, we do.
But Gustav does take the biscuit.
Yes, he does.
Why don't the local children play with Jennifer?
I don't know. Won't they? We are a bit isolated, I suppose. Long way from their little teas, I expect. Precocious child. Tires very quickly of the grunting little morons we get round here.
Hmm. You do have this acute servant problem, don't you?
It would be a treat to have a servant problem of any sort. There are a couple of dailies that come in during the week. I think it's a couple. They all look alike to me. There's the woman who does lunches. Oh, and there was a Spanish couple once. Whatever happened to them? And Hetty had a secretary once.
Yes, she did.
Charming girl. Gustav helps with the garden and odd jobs. He's a very good driver. Loves the rolls. He's a very interesting man, if you keep him off his obsession.
Obsession?
He has this remarkable theory about Hetty. He wrote her a fan letter, ages ago. She wanted a continental setting for a book she was doing at the time, so she wrote back. Frightful mistake. Always is. I tell her not to. Naturally, he was tickled pink and terribly helpful. He's a policeman, you know. Or he was.
Yes. So he said.
Well... It so happens some poor old fruit we knew slightly got knocked over in remarkably similar circumstances to the book. Poor old Gustav got terribly excited, wrote to Scotland Yard and Interpol.
Well, what happened?
Oh, they retired him early. We had a very nice letter from his chief.
He gets a very good pension. He's quite happy. Hetty's awfully fond of him. The oddest people write.
The theory?
Oh. You can't write a sonnet without being in love.
Therefore, to write best-selling murder mysteries, you have to be a murderer. Q.E.D.
It does sound faintly silly, doesn't it?
You don't have to be in love to write a good sonnet, do you?
It helps.
And the rest?
There is something essentially poetic about the force of her prose, as if she was... half in love with easeful death.
Particularly other people's. Shut the door, Hector. Well, well. What an extraordinary book you will write about me, Leo, when I'm gone. Provided always, of course, I oblige you by going first. Off the cell. I'll give you that.
Do sit down, Hetty. You're looking very frail.
I wonder I don't look apoplectic. I rather think, Leo, that there's very little difference between what you are doing and what you appear to imagine I have been doing. Except, perhaps, of instinct. Literary breeding. The difference between shooting foxes and hunting them.
Oh, Hetty, please sit down.
Yes, it wouldn't do for me to fall, would it? I might fracture an old hip and die. Wouldn't do at all, would it? Now, don't fuss me, Hector. There. Are all you young people taking precautions?
Hetty!
Hasn't anyone offered you their version of the official biography, Leo? With exclusive access to the most alarming tidbits? For a percentage, of course.
No, they haven't. And I must say how much I resent your remarks about my literary breeding.
Oh, must you? Bravo for you. They are slow off the mark, aren't they? I expect Thomas has thought of it.
I was thinking of getting round to it. One has to be practical, after all.
Will you have a pill, Hetty, please?
Hector, I am not about to die and leave you to the rigors of life on a mere 7,000 a year. Please don't fuss. Leo, do sit down and stop resenting things. You're making the place look untidy. If it makes you feel any better, I appoint you official biographer on the spot. It's all yours. Provided you stay the weekend and don't alarm me by running off or annoy me by staying too long.
Well, I don't know what to say, Dame Hetty.
You'll have to think of a better opening than that. What will you call it?
Oh. Well, I thought Murder as Art.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking of De Quincey's essay. Yes, I quite like that. Murder considered as one of the fine arts. Mm-hmm. That'll do splendidly. We agree about something at any rate. Well, we ought to celebrate, surely. Everybody, have a drink.
What's the matter with her?
I don't know.
You're in very good form, Dame Hetty.
Yes, I am. You know, the excitement does tend to wear me out these days. I have settled the shape of Swan Song.
Dry sherry, Leo.
Oh, please.
I'll have a scotch.
It's going to be set absolutely squarely in the best tradition of English crime writing.
What? You mean a large country house? That sort of thing?
Yes. In this case, an historic one, redolent of the long past, the many dead. Two, it will be gathered.
Will be drawn, as if by force majeure.
The last remnants of our glorious heritage, a trip down memory lane.
The weekend in the country.
We must get another cook, Hector.
Croquet on the lawn.
Was I silly to promise Jennifer a new tennis court?
The idle, charming flirtations of cultivated, intelligent, essentially useless people in an endless, blissful English summer.
We have nothing more disturbing than Dutch elm disease on the estate.
It does sound a bit old hat, Hetty.
Oh, nonsense. I like it.
Great artists work in established forms. Great art is not necessarily an innovation of form, but tried and true are nonetheless for being that.
Yeah, you begin to grow on me. I can't have my characters getting out of hand. Well, have you all got a drink? I could use this scene, you know.
Perhaps one of us should drop down dead, clutching his throat.
Thomas?
Stop playing the fool, Thomas. Get up. Well, are your glasses charged?
What about me?
Jennifer, do come in and stand beside me. I haven't forgotten you. No, no, leave the French windows open, dear. Now, what would you like to drink?
A gin and tonic.
No. Well, why not? A very tiny one, Sylvie, with a large piece of lemon.
Thank you.
Well, Leo, what do you think now?
I'm very flattered. I don't know what to say, Thomas. I'm very grateful to you.
Not at all, not at all. She's very big in America, you know.
Thank you.
Wait, baby.
So, to my official biographer, in whom I am well pleased.
Oh, thank you, all.
Leo.
Do you think you're God, Dempsey?
Augusta.
Leo, dear, do be careful.
Put him down. He's mine.
What?
Put him down. I don't want him turning back into a frog, do I?
Sylvie. This is my wife.
How do you do?
Are you surprised, Leo?
Yes, I am.
Hector told me your wife was in the village with my agent of all people, so I sent the car for them, you silly boy. Why ever didn't you say?
Well, I...
Where's Simon?
He has fled.
Simon?
Well, gone, certainly.
Oh, dear, such a delightful man. I did so want you all here. Gustav, you didn't... You weren't discouraging, were you?
I never said a word.
Dance, 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 little ladies, lose this fleeting da-da-da.
You sound almost like the real thing.
I am the real thing, ducky. Stick with me, kid.
Thomas, this is absurd.
Yes, isn't it? But it does give me an excuse to hold you close.
Does she always wear that incredible long black dress?
The dame. Only on special occasions.
Oh. Where's your girlfriend?
In Paris, buying her trousseau.
Countess, it?
Huh?
Leo thinks you're a frightful snob.
Yes, I am. It keeps one up to the mark. One should never settle for second best.
Oh. And what about me?
And your speciality, Melissa, dear. You're absolutely top flight.
What a delightful couple they make.
Yes, don't they? She's a wonderful dancer. It is a pity I don't dance.
Charming girl.
I'm so glad you like her.
Oh, I do, I do. She's perfect.
Hector, do stop doing that. Jennifer's watching.
Oh, sorry. You're very stiff, Sylvia, and may I say it, glowering somewhat.
Sorry.
Oh, what do you think?
Hmm?
I can't remember the last time I saw her in such good form. It really was an inspiration of Thomas's. I thought we'd seen the last Hetty Lowe mystery. I truly did.
Yes, Thomas can get married. Jennifer will have her tennis court.
I shall have a weekend in Boulogne.
Harwich for the continent.
Paris for the incontinent.
And I shall have a nose job.
God's in her heaven, all's right with the world.
Makes you glad to be British, what?
But it does seem a pity.
Oh, don't be silly.
Dinner. It is served.
Oh, well, I see. How does he do it?
So quick.
Gustav, you're a genius. Is there no end to your talents?
I'm sorry, I don't own a dinner jacket, Dame Hetty.
Oh, that's all right, but have a word with your man, I should. Did I say something funny?
Oh, Melissa, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm packing.
Oh, but well, you can't go now. What's wrong with tomorrow, anyway?
Simon's coming for me tonight.
Simon? I thought, why didn't he stay? Was it something I said? Oh, Melissa, what have I done?
Nothing, darling. Ever since I met you. Nothing.
Oh, but...
I'm leaving you, sweetie.
Yes, but Melissa...
Simon's going to marry me. He doesn't know it yet, but he is.
I'm coming with you.
No.
I'll stay. I will do the book. I'll get a contract. You'll be proud of me. Oh, don't go. Don't go. It could be different.
That would be nice. Bye, Leo.
I built a willow cabin at your gate. I remember you thought that ash might have done better. I brought and waited for you with a rose. You thanked me, but would have preferred a letter. I changed my suit. I matched my stride to yours. I held my peace. I clenched my sweaty paws. I watched you sabotage each moment juste. And wished myself a murdering on the moors.
This is all you're doing, Sylvie.
It most certainly is not.
Why didn't you stop her, Hector? What happened to the fatal charm? Why didn't you wake me?
Well, I didn't know she was going till she went.
Thomas, you knew these creatures were staying in the village. Why didn't you say?
I thought it would complicate things.
Oh, did you? I have a good mind to disinherit the lot of you. I could, you know. I could leave it all to Jennifer and the Battersea Dogs home.
Oh, Hetty.
I like doggies.
So do I.
Shh, baby.
But does it matter, Hetty?
Matter? Of course it matters. Have you no sense of form, no sense of style? Has your long association with me taught you nothing? Will nothing refine the inherent vulgarity of your mind?
Oh, I say.
Do you read my books?
Of course I do. Well, nearly all of them. One or two I couldn't finish. They're a bit long, Hetty.
Well, well. The scholars will sit at your feet, won't they? Waiting for a critical pearl or two. Looking for some gem, some tiny insight into the artistic process. Gap-toothed, eyes ablaze, notebooks poised. And what did you think of our books, they'll say. And you'll tell them, won't you? My goodness. A bit long, you'll say. And for these I have laboured. Very well. I shall have to rewrite my synopsis. I shall do so tonight. I trust I can rely on the full cooperation of you all.
Of course you can, dear.
My word, absolutely.
Sylvie?
Oh, yes, I suppose so.
There's little enough to ask, you know. I'm not getting any younger. You'll have to fend for yourselves very shortly. This is my last book. My Lovely Tempest. My swan song. A lifetime's experience thrown into one last tussle with the muse. One last mad embrace. A lifetime spent in the refinement of an art. Do you think it was worth it, Thomas?
Oh, yes. Of course it was.
I'll try not to make it too long.
What's the matter with you? Usual pre-book storm, that's all.
Is Aunt Hetty going to die?
Well, yes, Jennifer, she is, but not for a little while yet, we hope. God forbid.
I will get my tennis court, won't I?
Oh, I expect so.
If she leaves it all to me, you can come and live at the dog's home if you want.
There you are, Hector. One kennel shuts, another opens.
I wasn't looking to spend my old age with you, exactly.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, little tennis court.
Why does she keep saying that?
Oh, come in, Leo. Your wife get off, all right?
Yes, thanks.
Charming girl.
Yes, bucked us up no end. Treat to have around the old place. Oh, I'm sorry to see her go so suddenly.
Desperately sad.
Yes.
Gustav was wondering what you'd like for dinner.
Was he?
Sort of little treat.
The honoured guest.
That sort of thing.
Rather fancies his cooking.
Oh, so do I.
Has he taken over as cook?
He's going to do dinner from now on.
Gets him into the house more often.
Well, he was always in and out of the library with stuff for the theatricals.
I expect he feels he can keep an eye on us. Now he's got the kitchen.
I saw the lamb.
Hmm?
Navarine of lamb.
Oh, yes.
With Jerusalem artichokes cooked with cream and a plain fresh salad.
Hmm. Sounds delicious.
It will be. Why do you stay, Mr. Meadows? Go now. In vain is the net spread in the sight of the bird.
Yes.
Mr. Meadows, such fatalism is unhealthy. Fear eats the soul. I admire the stiff upper lip, Mr. Meadows, but moderation in all of those things. Run, Mr. Meadows, run.
Like a rabbit, in half a circle. But from what? And where to? Do you think one's life can change in a weekend, Gustav? One's destiny become manifest?
Minded.
One's loved ones fall away. Gone, are they gone? What, all of them? Gone. Oh, I feel so tired, Gustav. Exhausted. As if at the end of a long, hard struggle. Wrestling with an angel.
It is the angel of death.
Is it? Her embrace is so cool.
But so deadly.
Her skin doesn't part from you with vile, sticky noises.
Mr. Meadows, you are in love with the idea of death.
Or out of love with life. Her smile is fascinating.
Do you like junket?
Hmm?
Junket.
Oh, yes.
How will you spend the day?
Oh, I have a poem to finish. A little gift from the muse. It came to me last night.
What will you call it? Swan song?
Et tu, Gustav.
Mr. Meadows.
The last of the junket, Lear.
No, thank you.
Delicious, wasn't it?
You thought so, evidently.
Oh, it was, you know. The man's a marvel.
I knew I'd find a use for it.
She never throws anything away.
Coffee, Lear.
Oh, have a brandy first.
No, after.
Have both now.
I think I'll go to my room, if you'll excuse me. There's something I want to finish.
Yes, I must work tonight. Do you drink when you work, Lear?
Sometimes.
Take the bottle.
Thank you.
I'm sure you don't need it.
No, I don't.
How's the book going?
Oh, very well. We must talk about it sometime.
Yes.
Good night.
Leo!
Yes?
Has he forgotten something? Have you forgotten something?
No.
Do you like poetry, Sylvie?
It
doesn't matter.
I like poets.
Well, I have this book of my poems. I had to pay to have it published, as I think I said. I usually do. It's not very big, is it? But you can't always go by weight. Some of them are quite good, I think. The early ones had promise. Well, people said so, you know, and I believed in them. The poems, that is. And the people come to that. Anyway, I'd like you to have it. I haven't written in it. There isn't anything to write.
Thank you.
I thought you didn't give books away, Leah.
Ah, well. Perhaps it's the exception that proves the fool.
What a splendid line for your exit. Good night.
Oh, now then, Sylvia, old girl.
We're not going to have any tears, are we?
No. We can't afford to be sentimental, can we?
If I should die this night, if I should die this night, then if I should die this night, then in the world's eye flaunt me. If midnight, I fear the worst. My door, locked and bolted. Why do I stay? Is flight futile? Has she mesmerized me? Oh, Melissa, I am not. Nothing. I exist. I write, therefore I am. I write, therefore I am. I write, therefore I am. One small distinction was all I asked, all I ever wanted. Admit the muse cannot be wrong if so she choose. 29 volumes in all, and one to go. I shall be the book of the month, anyway, in all the anthologies. Dead? Are they dead? What, all of them? Dead? Who is it?
It's me, Sylvie!
What do you want? I'm in bed.
Well, I'm not. Open the door. Do you always go to bed fully dressed?
Well, I...
You're working too hard.
But I do exist.
Mm?
Oh, I'm not nothing. We are non-fiction, aren't we?
Pardon?
Oh, listen. Set your face against women. Let it burn, shot full of love's knot, tail slime and dog dream. Love's knot time's fool. Do fish love less than frog's pawn to night's queen? Endless burn, sleeping duty, ice creamy dream, angelic saluki, bordelic bream. Let it burn, let it cool. Love not time's fool. Set your face against women. Let it burn. There. You see? I do exist.
Very nice. I saw your light was on. I brought you a cocoa.
I shan't drink it. I won't. I won't. You can't make me.
All right. Don't drink it. See if I care. Hetty wants to borrow your tape recorder. Is that all right? She's working in the long gallery.
Mm. Little Miss Muffet, the concrete prima donna, Uncle Tom's carbine, Nanny makes three. Do you think I don't know?
Are you sure you're all right?
She can't. I won't. It doesn't work. Put it down.
It was working just now.
Mm.
Or were you talking to yourself?
Yes. Yes, I was. I do. Often, all the time. I'm doing it now.
Well, I'll leave you to get on with it. She only wants to look at it, I think.
Bring it back.
Oh, yes. I'll bring it back.
The visitor. Find the lady. The swelling scene. Emily and the detectives. A fourth at bridge. The lady is for burning.
Hattie.
I do not like to be telephoned while I'm working.
Hattie.
Who is that?
You know very well who it is. It's Thomas. Hattie, my door is locked.
So is mine. I want everyone to stay in their rooms tonight. I do not wish to be disturbed. Good night. Yes.
Hattie?
Where are you, Hector?
In the blasted country club, of course, where you sent me.
Good, stay there.
Oh, Hattie, can't I come home? It's frightfully dreary.
Who else is there?
Our usual crowd of chief constable with his arse in the fire. A boring old fart he is.
Well, talk to him, Hector. Buy him a drink. Make sure he remembers you.
Oh, here he talks about television.
Well, pour it over him, then. But don't come back before 2:30. There will be a body in the carriageway under the west wing. I shouldn't drive over it. You'll probably pick it up in your lights. Phone the police and tell them not to make a lot of noise. I shall be asleep.
Hattie, that's another 2 hours.
These are difficult times, Hector. We must all make sacrifices.
What about Gustav?
He's not on the phone, is he? You'll have to miss it, that's all. Can't please everybody. Good night.
Where the elves are dancing in the dark, the magic ring. 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Hello, dear. You all set?
Yes, thank you.
Not too tired?
No, thank you.
There's a good girl. You are up late, aren't you? You can stay in bed tomorrow if you wish. You miss breakfast. Is the can on the landing?
Mm-hmm.
And the little source of the blue liquid?
Yes, by the door.
And a great big candle?
Yes.
And how long does it take to get hot?
10 minutes.
Let me wind your watch. Oh, which is the on button?
That one.
4 marks. I can't catch you, can I? Off you go, then. Don't drop it. It's not mine. I'll put the matches in your pocket.
Oh, can I take the plans of the tennis court to bed with me?
What extraordinary ideas you have, certainly not. You'd never sleep. You can play with them tomorrow in the library. Stay off with you. Yes, Leah.
Look, I don't know how to put this, Dame Hattie, but this woman has locked herself in my room.
Leo, do put the phone down.
I'm sorry, you don't know where to put what?
Her!
You don't know where to put her?
I couldn't put her anywhere. She's stronger than I am.
Well, lie still and think of England or a poem or something. Please leave this line free, Leo. I'm expecting a call.
But she says you sent her.
Well, what do you want? Written confirmation. Get off the line, you idiot.
Yes?
Thomas.
Hattie. I was going to ring. Well, you know, I wouldn't disturb you, but Jennifer's outside, in the passage, giggling away, splashing something about.
Can't you smell it?
What's she doing?
She's soaking paraffin along the landing.
Paraffin? Yes. Yes, I can smell it. You wouldn't, Hattie, would you? I mean, I know the house is insured and we are a bit pushed, but I like the old place and I thought another book would see us clear.
Oh, there'll be another book as well.
You would, wouldn't you?
There's smoke coming under the door.
Of course there is.
Hattie, if I ever get out of here...
But you won't, will you? The door's solid oak, isn't it?
But the telephone. I shall call the fire brigade.
But you can't.
Ah! The doorknob! It's red hot!
Good job you can't open the door. Actually, they say you shouldn't keep all windows and doors shut.
The window.
Don't, Thomas. Whatever you do. You know why it's safe. The balustrade's not safe.
I hate your books. Did you know? I always have. I never finished one of them. Long and tedious. Not a lot in them.
Now that is strange. Lord Darby thought Wuthering Heights was terrible lovely.
You're past it. Ingenuity is all. And now you're finished.
Oh, you'd like this one. It's very ingenious.
Why me, you old hag? Why me?
Thomas, you are as elegant and ignorant as a swan.
The money?
It's not the expense, Thomas. It's those bloody telephones everywhere. In the loos, in the bathroom, the dogs peeing over them in the stables. I hate telephones.
Dollhouse Nursery.
Jennifer.
Yes, Auntie.
Have you got my list?
Yes, Auntie.
Read it to me. Off you go, then.
In and out the magic ring.
40 love. What time did you get up, Leo?
Oh, 6 o'clock.
Did you get 4 hours in?
I most certainly did. And then some. 5,000 words. On you. For Playboy.
What? No poetry. Some young man in Birmingham rang me up once, asked me if I'd like to do a centre spread for Playboy. I refused, of course. Did I do the right thing? What's a centre spread?
Oh, I think you were very wise, really.
Do they pay well?
Oh, yes, very well.
Ah, Gustav, the lemonade, thank you.
Mr. Meadows?
Oh, yes, please. Are you having some?
Not at the moment. Excuse me.
Oh, righto.
Have you heard from your wife lately?
No. No, I haven't, actually.
Will I get rid of her, or shall you?
Oh, I'll get rid of her. About the nose job, Hetty.
Yeah?
The sooner, the better.
Oh, yes.
I finished reading your manuscript of Swan Song last night.
Oh, did you? What did you think?
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
I always wanted to write a work of crime which finally baffled my detective. I do agree with the more perceptive of my critics who seen my work a final failure of nerve, an inability to settle for the inexplicable and motiveless.
I have one or two reservations about the plot.
Really? Do you feel it's implausible?
Frankly, I do, yes. I mean, how do you smell paraffin if there's none about?
Well, you know, suggestion is a very strange thing. If I told you you had a spider on the back of your neck... No, don't. And on no account to touch it, since it was deadly. Do you think you might begin to feel him... picking his way through the hair.
But there isn't, is there?
No.
The water...
would dry very quickly on a warm summer's night with a good current of air. Still, perhaps I must it. Oh, for pity.
Oh, you'll get by. Make no mistake about it. On the sheer horsepower of the writing alone.
Oh, thank you. That is nice. It is a treat to hear it from time to time. By the way, use the long gallery if you want to. By all means.
Well, thank you.
It's very quiet. I shan't be going there anymore. We'll make a writer of you yet. Leo.
Darling! Darling! Leo! Oh, get the ball, sweetie.
Oh. Right-ho.
Oh, lemonade. Yes.
Yes, you look hot, Sylvie.
Mr. Meadows! Mr. Meadows!
Gustav, you made a jump. What are you doing in the rhododendron?
Mr. Meadows, I promise. My word as a gentleman. I don't do nothing. I don't tell nobody.
Yes?
How does she do it?
Oh. Talent, Gustav. Talent. There's no substitute for it.
But how did she kill him?
Oh, well. It was an open verdict, you know. A perfect mystery, the coroner said. My own theory is that he killed himself.
Huh?
Well, that he desperately didn't want to be married, yet somehow couldn't resolve it. These things happen, Gustav.
Has she really retired?
Oh, yes. She won't write any more. What are you planning for tonight?
It's a little something I invented myself. You have to wait and see.
Oh, you're an artist, Gustav.
Oh, Mr. Meadows.
Is there a tennis ball around here?
That was Murder as Art by Graham England, with Noel Hood as Dame Hetty and John Rye as Leo. Gustav, Philip Voss. Hector, Alan Lawrence. Jennifer, Jean Rogers. Sylvie, Francis Jeter. Melissa, Nicolette McKenzie. Simon, Peter Howell. Thomas, Andrew Sear. The play was produced and directed by Richard Wortley.